On page 4, we have a model for utilizing NLP in therapy or in personal change work. Obviously, as we've been going through the CDs, I've spent a considerable amount of time with each of the NLP change techniques explaining how to use them with certain presenting problems. So all I really need to give you now is a model so you know what order and sequence to use each of these particular techniques in. As we've said, in every single application so far, rapport is the thing that we build first. Before we do anything else, you've got to have rapport with your therapeutic client. This is through matching and mirroring physiology, matching voice tonality, and also matching predicates, keywords, and phrases. Once you've got a good level of rapport built, and the person is going to be open with you, and they trust you as an agent of change or as a therapist, then we'd want to gather information. Now I'd move to section 2. One of the most important things to have your client do at this point in time in the therapeutic process is for them to have an experience of being able to do the problem in your office. The reason for this is we can set up a great contrast frame. If they have an experience of having the problem in the office, then after you've done your intervention, they find it completely impossible to have the problem in the office. There's a nice contrast there before and after, and that's what fills their convincer that they've changed. If you don't have them have the problem in the office before you do the intervention, and you then come to see if they're convinced they've changed, they'll say, well, I don't know, I'll have to wait until the next time X, Y, and Z happens. That's not good enough, because you're not there when X, Y, and Z happens. You want the person convinced the problem has disappeared, it's become something of the past, before they leave you. You want them to leave you in a state where it's a foregone conclusion, things will be different in the future next time. The only way you can get that is for them to have the experience of having the problem in the office. The way you do it is you say, can you do it now? And you work with them until they have an experience of actually having the problem. Further questions, which you'll recognize from our strategy elicitation work: when do you do it? When don't you do it? How do you do it? And how do you know it's a problem? All the time, as you're gathering more and more and more information about the problem, you'd want to be chunking up, finding out what their purpose for it is, also using your meta model questions to get the deep structure of the problem, and all the time reframing. What I like to do is, as the information is coming out from the client, I like to be reframing it all the time conversationally. This means that by the time we actually get to step 3, which is the intervention, their model of the world, which holds the problem together, is already beginning to crumble, it's already beginning to get shaky, it's starting to fall apart. So that when I intervene, I know the intervention is going to go easily, quickly, and smoothly. Also, you'll want to get a really good, congruent outcome of what they want from the therapy session. Get their outcome of what they want instead of the problem, and run it through all of the well-formed outcome questions, getting really detailed about what it actually is that they want instead. This is how we make NLP change generative rather than remedial. We're not just interested in the problem disappearing, we're interested in what they're going to create in their life instead of the problem. Once we have all that information, and you know inside of you, okay, if I had this particular model of the world from everything that I have at the moment without doing any mind reads, would I have a problem? As soon as you can congruently answer, yes. Now I have the problem, the real problem, then you can move to step 3, which is the intervention. Depending on what you've elicited in step 2, will depend upon the number of interventions and techniques that you use. You've got a nice choice, you've got a lot of tools in your toolbox now. It could be anchoring. Maybe you need to do collapse anchors if they have a particular negative anchor to a trigger. Maybe you need to do some chaining of anchors if there's some stuck states there. Maybe it's some submodality work. Swish patterns, could even be the phobia model. Or just straight mapping across like to dislike, unmotivated to motivated, whatever it may be. If during step 2 you've elicited that there are some parts conflicts there, you'd want to use the visual squash, parts integration process to integrate any of those parts. Also, in the grand scheme of things, you may also want to be using timeline therapy to have them release negative emotions, get rid of limiting decisions, and you may also want to use some hypnosis. These are all things that we cover on our practitioner training and which are beyond what we can actually cover on these CDs. Once you've done your intervention, then it comes to testing. I really spend a good amount of time testing. I want to be totally convinced that the client's problem has completely disappeared before they leave me. I want them to be totally convinced that the problem has disappeared before they leave me. I'll ask them, can you do it now? And I want to have them really try in vain to have the same old problem and notice that they can't. In that way, before they even leave your office, they are totally convinced their problem has disappeared, and it's a foregone conclusion things will be different in the future. This is how you fill their convincer. Once you know their convincer is filled, by testing all the memories in the past that they talked about where they used to have the old problem, then we can come to future pacing. What we do in future pacing is we have them go out and imagine times in the future which, if they'd happened in the past, they'd have had their old problem. And have them notice that when they go out to the future, to similar events, things are very different. And keep taking them out to different events in the future until you know their reassurance strategy is totally and utterly satisfied. Now they leave, bulletproof, they're convinced their problem's gone, and they're totally sure that they'll create things differently in the future.